Well, good morning. You remembered. I'm very proud of you, each and every one of you. You moved your clock, and you're here with us this morning. We're glad that you're with us today, and I trust that you got plenty of sleep last night, and you probably didn't. You went to bed and counted for that hour, right, and everything? Yeah, right, sure. Okay. Well, we're glad that you're here today. Looking forward to spending some time with you this morning as we worship together. We've got a few things that I want to share with you today as we started here today. In fact, there are several things inside of the bulletin. Guess what? You're going to have to read those because I have three very important announcements that I want to get through today. But make sure that you check the bulletin out. There are some things that are happening. The Egg My Yard, there's a sign-up sheet in the back in the foyer, as well as being able to find information about that online. But there are some other events here. We have some opportunities to encourage one another, and so we'll get to mention some of those prayer requests and also some other things in just a minute. Before we get started in the service of this morning, like I said, there are three very significant announcements that I want to share with you as a church family and be able to get you caught up to speed a little bit on some details of some events that are happening. The first is this, that in our youth, in the ministry of our youth, we're in the midst of a transition, and we are excited for the years that David and his family have participated. The Prairies have worked so diligently in relation to our youth and have faithfully served there for several years. And in their venture to now step into full-time mission work, they're going to be stepping away from the youth ministry. And in light of that, we are going into a transition period and asking Steve and Ashley Gilmore to step into that role of transitional leaders helping us in our youth ministry. Steve and Ashley have served faithfully in youth ministry for several years in Wisconsin before moving here just a little over a year ago. And part of our church here have been ever since they came into town. And so just wanted to make sure that you're aware that this is a transition that's been in the making, has been talked about. We've discussed this amongst staff, with deacons and others, has been told to those that are working with the youth, and then those that are parents of our teenagers. And now we are sharing full-fledged with our entire church body, just to kind of let you know what's happening in that area. So Steve and Ashley will be sort of taking the reins of that and being volunteer leaders in that capacity, and they'll do that around the end of April when David and Brandy pretty much fully move away from serving necessarily here, not leaving Chattanooga, not leaving Grace physically for a much longer period, but David is going to be investing more of his time and energies into his mission endeavors of teaching and ministry in foreign fields and working with ABWE and how they are transitioning into that at this time. So be in prayer for this transition, be in prayer for Steve and Ashley as they begin to take a little bit more of the reins of that ministry and lead that, and working with the other youth leaders as sponsors, the different ones working there together. So be in prayer with them, if you would, in that regard. And if you have any questions specifically about that, you can talk to me. I encourage you to, you know, reach out to Steve and get to know him and be in prayer for him, and just asking the Lord to use him as he continues to minister to our young people here on a regular basis. The second announcement that I want to share with you in regards to Pimentels, and very excited that they are going to be officially Chattanooga residents starting March 16th. That's next Tuesday. They came down, Jency and another man from up in Pennsylvania came and brought a van of some goods of theirs, some furniture, some of their clothing and things like this that they've acquired over the, it's been several months now that they've been in the States here. And so they brought that down. He flew back yesterday, and they will be traveling tomorrow, starting their journey and staying in Virginia, then coming in on Tuesday. So I just want to let you know that this is coming, that they'll be in town. And something that I like for us to be thinking about is how we can welcome them and making sure that they are felt welcome here. One thing I'd like to do, and I'm going to be encouraging this even with our Spanish ministry, is back in the day when I was growing up, we used to have what we would call food poundings. Anybody ever heard of that before? before, a food pounding? Okay, you kind of, that's not where you throw metal cans at people, okay? It's an opportunity to get some groceries, some non-perishable goods, some things that they could use to stock their cabinets, fun stuff for the kids and things like this, but to make sure that they've got the ketchup and the mustard and all those things that's that expensive thing to get when you're setting up your kitchen, and making sure that you've got food in the fridge and ready to go is one thing, but having things in your cupboards is another. So I'd like to see us do that. And so we're going to start talking a bit about that and get the word out and do that in a way so that we can encourage them so they move in here, that we can welcome them. It won't be necessarily right away, but we wanted to get this to them eventually here and help them with that. So we'll be talking about that, getting some word out as a way to do that, and where you can drop those things off, because I know that Fred and Mike don't really want to load the trailer back and forth every Sunday here, but we'll probably have a drop place for you to come, bring that to, and welcome them to Chattanooga. We have some other things that we're working on where we might have an opportunity to make that sort of an official installation kind of a service time for the Spanish ministry, but that'll be forthcoming a little bit later on. So just be in prayer as they begin to travel tomorrow, making their journey here, and ask the Lord to protect them and help them in that process. And then very excited. Just a way of encouraging you as well, Jency received both his EAD card and his Social Security card, and he is officially now a what we would consider in his ability to be recognized as having a temporary residency here in the States. It allows him to get a job, allows him to do all those things, and so we jokingly said we can start paying him now, and everything is good to go. So very excited about the way that God worked, and just the timing of it. It's just amazing to watch God expedite all of these things. So just keep them in your prayers as they are here and getting here, and very excited to see God step them into ministry here as a church. The third announcement that I want to share with you this morning is this is regarding a prayer team that we have asked to organize and to help us as a church to become very focused and intentional about prayer. Back several months ago, really almost right after the tornado, we had these bracelets made up, and with the concept of greater grace and transforming grace, and we still have several of these, and the design of this as well was something that you could have to remind you to be in prayer and to encourage us to be as a body praying for the process of rebuilding in our church. But what I've done is I've asked these three couples, Stephen Ashley Gilmore, Gavin and Sandy Grabacki, and Scott and Jackie Hicks, to lead a group of people together in the sense of corporate praying. How can we as a church be more intentional, more focused on the idea of praying? And so they have together created a sense of a statement, a tagline of sorts that identifies what we want to be praying for. And it goes like this: we are people pursuing prayer for construction, connection, and the commission. That's on that next slide, if we could there. And this is a way for us as a church to be praying strategically, earnestly, intentionally, about how God could be using this process of our rebuilding in a very focused and in a way that gets us thinking about specifically people that are involved and those that we want to see the Lord reach through this process. And so obviously the construction has to do with the building of buildings. We understand that there needs to be safety. We understand that there needs to be intelligence and decision-making and how we build this campus that the Lord has blessed us with, and using the resources wisely, and that's financial as well as manpower and all those things that go into that. And so we are asking the Lord to guide us and to give us wisdom in that process. The other aspect deals really with the sense of connecting and how can we connect? What are some ways that we can connect with not just the community as a whole, but also with those construction workers? How can we pray as we get to know foremans and supervisors and different ones that are a part of that, but then also as we cross paths with those that are working and literally doing hands-on to build the structures, and we're asking the Lord give us intentional opportunities to connect with people while they are working on our campus, and then praying about how we can do that effectively, and how can we can make some connections with them that might reap eternal benefits. And so that's something we're praying for. And then last is the idea of the commission, and that is truly a part of how do we see this as part of God's plan for Grace Baptist Church in the Great Commission process, as we are thinking not just about the here and now and the intermediary steps, but where about in the process of for eternity do we see God using this in our process of time? And so these are some specific ways that they're going to be encouraging us as a church body to be praying. So over the next few weeks and months, you're going to be needing to be on the lookout for some different ways to connect on social media. There will be some specific requests that will come to the church body as a whole. There are going to be some initiatives, some things that they're going to do, and Lord willing, next week, they're going to be sharing some of those things that they are planning to get us as a church involved with, that we can be doing together as a church to pray at on specific dates and in targeted ways with obvious things that right in front of us that we can latch hold of and actually pray very specifically about. And so I really appreciate Scott and his leadership with these other couples and helping us to get a really more of a focused intention about praying. So there's a couple things I'd like for you to think about. You know, if you don't have one of the bracelets, pick one of those up. If that's something you don't mind wearing, and or if you just put it in a place to draw your attention to that as a part of praying. There are other things that they're going to be doing to draw our attention, to remind us to pray. And so those are things that I hope that you will take upon yourself to realize the urgency and the need for us to be doing this as a church. And so they'll be presenting some more ways for us to do that. So we're going to be looking for specific things that we can do to really call our attention, to humble ourselves before God, to seek His face, and to behold Him, to imagine Him at work, and to call our attention to seeing how God is at work. How do we see Him visibly doing things on our behalf? And so I encourage you to be ready for this, and I hope that every one of us will get on board as we pray for what God has in store, and letting that then carry us into not just a new facility, but to carry us into ministry, that we might be effective in these days. So I wanted to share these points with you this morning. Obviously, you can go anytime to our website. Ourgrace.church is a place that we will connect you with different things. There are places there to take us to our social media, to the different pages and aspects, and then as we get these other prayer initiatives, there will be ways that you can connect even from our website, but we will make sure that there you can find these resources and thinking about it. So Pray It Forward is this kind of this initiative, and I know they already, I think they have an Instagram page already up and running. I just got that, and so there's some other places that you'll be able to see those things taking place, but we're excited to see what the Lord has in store. Well, as you come in this morning, we welcome you. We thank you for being here with us today, and our heart's desire is that we might be encouraged and strengthened in the days that God has given to us, and there are several that we're praying for. One specifically that I just want to continue to ask you to be in prayer for is John Matthias. I trust that you've seen the updates, and I hope that you're aware, but John had to be taken back to the hospital. There are some very serious health challenges ahead of him related to his heart. There are some real struggles ahead for him, and perhaps some very serious solutions medically that are going to be required. And so just really be in prayer for John, pray for his family, his sons. I believe one of his children is coming in from Illinois and plan to be here, and just really ask that you be in prayer for John through this challenge. Continue to pray for the Irvin family. as they experienced the loss, Joe's mother passing away. And then there are several that are listed here that we have continued to be in prayer for. Had a good opportunity to sit down with Ed and Doreen Scott just the other day, and she is, I just want to say I really appreciate several of the ladies of our church that make it a part of their routine to go and spend time with Doreen. And when Ed mentioned that, it just brings tears to his eyes. He's so appreciates the effort of our church and has made several comments about how much he just loves our church and is grateful for our church in times like this. So just be in prayer for Doreen as she is continuing to go through some treatments and has had some procedures this last week, and just ask the Lord to give them strength through these days. And then also, just others that are here that have just been battling with some very chronic and very serious suffering, and just remember one another in prayer as we go through the days ahead. I'm going to ask Kelly, if you would, to come and to share with us our verse here this morning and the thought of what God's Word gives to us in these days, and preparing our hearts now for this morning and our worship time here together, and then opening our hearts in prayer. So if you would, let's stand together and let's prepare to say these verses and think about what the meaning of these passages are for us today.
Let's read our fighter verse for the week, shall we? Philippians 2, 8 and 9. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Let's pray. Lord, we are a needy people. Thank you that in humility our Savior came to rescue us. Thank you that there is an ultimate rescue that awaits us one day in his presence. But for now, we come before you. We lift up those who are a part of our body, who are feeling that need in different ways. And we pray that you will build them up, encourage them. Lord, thank you for this call to prayer that we are going to be moving into. Lord, I am reminded that humility requires us to come to you in need. Lord, we glorify you by coming to you and remembering that we need you. So please minister to our hearts this morning through the worship, through your word, and through the fellowship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are happy that you've joined us, and it's a privilege to be able to lead with this music team this morning. In light of the sermon topics over the last few weeks, this song kept coming back to my mind really the last few weeks, but an older song, but I think it'll encourage you this morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Men of faith, rise up.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of this great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love? Oh, shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth.
We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You burn the truth on our lips. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He
thank You for the joy that we have for knowing You, We thank you for the peace and the rest and the just the goodness that we experience because of our relationship with you. Thank you for your word, and I pray that as we dive into it this morning that you'll encourage us, convict us, mold us to be more like you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, team. Amen. What a stirring of our hearts this morning, and I appreciate the songs. I appreciate the way that God takes music and allows us to focus in on a thought, a message, a sentiment, expression of our faith, and to be able to magnify the person of God through the person of his Son and how he has revealed himself to us in these days. I'm so grateful for the presence of Christ and the presence of his Spirit in our lives. If you would, go with me to the book of Philippians here this morning as we continue in our series of uncommon joy and finding him in the places of our circumstances as we're going to be challenged with here this morning. In Philippians chapter 1, as we think about what we read, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12, and for several weeks we've been reading 1 through 11 and letting those verses sink into our heart. Now I pray that as we get ready to move into verses 12, and we're going to read down to verse 20 here this morning, that God will take those sentiments of expression that he gave us in those early verses, they're the expressions of Christ, the affections of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And then he begins in verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Now some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. And the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel, for the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. And yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. This morning, I want to move us out of Paul's introduction to a thought this morning of hope in exile. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this relationship of hope in a period of place where Paul finds himself really addressing the exile that he's in, a location, a physical location of exile. And Paul really gets personal. He acquaints them with his attitude in the midst of a trial. And this is what I need to hear. This is where I need the reality of life, not the rosy, glossy pictures, because there are realizations that with the roses, there are also what? The thorns. There's the understanding that with what is beautiful is many times it comes because there is pain and there is suffering. There is something difficult tied to it and associated with it. And what Paul is doing here is he is bringing something that is beautiful from what God is teaching him in connection with what is desperate and a very difficult part of his life. Paul here in this movement is identifying a location. Paul is where? He's in prison. And most likely the place that he is in prison is in Rome during the time frame of 61 to 62 A.D., and most would associate that this is the time frame of which the book of Philippians is written, is in this period of time, been in this 1 to 2 year period of time. And Paul mentions here in chapter 4 that he is confronting here in this place, and also in chapter 4 he talks about Caesar and the Praetorian Guard. And the Praetorian Guard are those elite Roman soldiers, the ones that guarded Caesar himself. And so he is under the auspice, under the care of this very elite group of soldiers. And so the conditions and the circumstances of Paul's life are not really pleasant by anything would be accounted for in an external manner. Nothing is easy in the situation of Paul's life. But however, what do you sense from Paul here? Is this a man that's down in the dumps, in despair, lost without a friend in the world? Is he hopeless, helpless? Is he pacing? Is he fretting? Is he stewing? Is he simmering? Is he seething? But of course, we all know that Paul is some very superhuman, non-emotional apostle that never fears, never questions, never doubts God, right? Go with me for just a moment. Hold your place in Philippians. Go back to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at a few verses here. And I want you to catch what Paul says about his experiences and where he is at in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and notice what we read in verse 5 as you go back just a few books to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, and he says, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without." Notice what he says here, "fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." Go to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, over to chapter 12, and notice what he says in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. He says, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, and for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" You know, so many times I read through Paul's epistles and I read how he deals with circumstances. I read how he confronts these individuals and he challenges them with the integrity of his word, the word of God, the inspired word of God. And it's almost like we can get to a place where we think that Paul never, ever suffered. He never really struggled. But he was depressed. He was afraid. This is not a superhuman individual that it could not experience the things that we experience. He was a man that struggled just like we do. So we need to be clear that what Paul offers to these Philippian believers is not fluff on a stick. And Paul is writing from experience and from a well that has been dug deep through his need for God and the refreshing that can only come through the Holy Spirit. What I want to do over the course of these next few weeks, I want to focus on three statements that I believe summarize these verses now back in Philippians. So going back to there with me and thinking about what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks here. The flow of the passage actually begins in verse 12 and goes all the way to the end of the chapter. But there are some grammatical and there are some thought shifts within this section, within this passage, within this larger paragraph that I believe we could break this down into some smaller bite sizes. And so as we move through these sections, I want you to notice the tone and I want you to notice the expression of encouragement. But I need you to also take heed to how each of these expressions, they come from a heart. And they come from a heart and a mind that has had to wrestle with the concepts that he is now, in many ways, what Paul is saying is, these are the things that I have received, these are the things that I have discovered, and what I want to do is I want to share them with you. This is what God has been teaching me. This is what I know the Holy Spirit is encouraging me with, and what I am comforted with, I want to turn around and I want to comfort you with. So let's notice the first of these three statements and really finding them in verses 12 through 14 as we're going to focus on this as a subset of this greater passage from verses 12 down to verse 20. And this is the statement. that there is no lock that is strong enough to imprison the gospel. As I was reading through this thought in verse 12, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. My circumstances. Did you catch that? My circumstances. The King James, the thing which happened to me, the ESV, what happened to me? So Paul, what circumstances? What's happened to you? Prison. Paul, you're in prison. Yeah, I know, and it's been wonderful. What? I mean, come on, that's not what I would have expected for him to say. I don't think that's how we would have responded. I know that I would be struggling with that thought. And really more so to understand that this is the expression of Paul's heart. You know, how is that possible? Because of verse 12, the gospel is progressing. The gospel is advancing. He says in verse 13, this is my imprisonment. And how does he see his imprisonment? Notice there in verse 13, he says, my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Do you understand what Paul is saying here? That basically what Paul is saying is that it's caused by Jesus Christ. My imprisonment is caused by Jesus Christ. If anything, another way he could say it, it's God's fault that I'm here where I'm at. It's because of Christ, for the cause of Christ. And guess what? I am chained. I am chained. I am in prison, but in my physical chains, I'm seeing those in spiritual chains being set free. And who are those people? The guards? These elite fighting men of Nero's palace, and not just them, but everyone else. Because see, this is where God brought me. This is where God has brought me to. And they are a captive audience. And I love how Paul turns this idea of capture, of imprisonment, to an understanding of the good news of the gospel, to those that are really bound, to those who are really in chains, to those who are truly imprisoned. They are the ones that are being set free because of the gospel. The gospel is not bound by a lock or key. The gospel is really more so bound by my poor view of my circumstances. You see, I am a prisoner only if I see that God is unjust, or his cause as being unworthy, or my circumstances as unfair. But when we turn our circumstances into an opportunity to be where God has placed us, then the gospel is what can come to life. What has you bound by fear and uncertainty and hopelessness, that your hope in God has gone into exile with you? Is it any wonder that we have lost our joy in those places where we have captured our hearts either by sin, or we've captured our hearts because of the failures of others? We've captured our hearts in places and circumstances where we begin to question the integrity of God's goodness. We begin to question the planning and the purpose of God's intentions. We begin to question whether or not God is truly looking out for our best interests. And we begin to evaluate God's circumstances by what I would perceive as a better alternative. Could I do it better, God? And I really don't think Paul really in any way still, you know, I know that Paul struggled. Let me put it this way. I know that Paul struggled. God, I could be out starting more churches. I could be out planting more opportunities of gospel sowing. I could be doing something so much greater. I am stuck. I am in chains. I am imprisoned. And then Paul began to look at every one of those guards that are there with him. And, hey, Is it any wonder that the last thought that you have in sharing and living Christ is out of your prison cell? Church, there is no lock that is strong enough to imprison the gospel. You need to have courage, show daring, be bold, walk fearlessly in this world. Paul says, if I can find strength even in the prison cell, and I can see how God is using his gospel to change these fierce fighting men, then you can have courage no matter what circumstances you're going through. If a word could be used to describe what Paul is saying here, it would be the word grace. He says in this passage, really, as I think about what God has been doing and what God is allowing me to see in my imprisonment, the cause of Christ, that God has given me the grace to be able to see, even in my hopelessness, in my helplessness, even where fear wants to take over and where discouragement and depression and all of these things rest here. But my grace is sufficient. And in my weakness, I have found his grace to be greater. What is interesting about grace and joy is that in the Greek language, they both come out of a very similar root word. And there is a very strong relationship between God's grace and our sustained joy. Let me ask you today, what wall are you running up against? What obstacle is in front of you in such a way that it's hindering you from being able to really appreciate God's gracefulness in the moment? What wall has confronted you and challenged you in such a way that you're struggling so much with the wall that you're not seeing the other people that are hitting the wall at the same time or are standing there in proximity to you in your struggle? What sin has you all tied up and bound? You're so enamored with this pursuit of something that you know defies the character of God and contradicts the love of Christ, and yet you're enamored with it so much more. And then how is it then that the gospel can go really forward when your heart is nowhere near the gospel itself? What attitude have you been wrestling with? Why are you so angry? Why are you so depressed? Why are you so discouraged? I just read a post this morning. Teenage boy took his own life. No signs, no indicators, nothing. The excuse, the first thing they run to is the pandemic. Why is it that this generation is struggling so much with a pandemic? Where is the gospel in moments like this? What are we focused on as parents? What are we focused on as the supposed mature leaders of our nation, of our homes, of our churches? Where is the gospel that is not just the punctiliar beginning point of a relationship with God, but where is the gospel as it lives and breathes and survives even in an imprisonment? Where is the gospel? It's the idea of holding on. Where is Christ in all of this? And maybe you're blaming God. Yes, it's his fault. And at least you're being honest. I give you credit for that. But can you trust him? Is God no longer the good God that he claims to be? Maybe you're saying, I have been following God's word and look where it's gotten me. Well, at least I'll commend you as being faithful. But has God been faithful? It's because I did something out of line with God's word and now I'm trapped by my failure. But wait, hasn't God promised to forgive and that his grace is sufficient? Is the power of salvation the glory of the resurrection dead? And the answer is no. There is no lock that is strong enough to hold the gospel. We need to live free even inside of our circumstances, when even circumstances are difficult, and let the change that Christ has brought through his grace be what strengthens you. And let it be, even in the midst of a prison cell, is what gives you freedom. The liberty of heart, the liberty of expression to live out the gospel. I should have made you hold a place back there in 2 Corinthians. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a minute. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice with me what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll pick it up in verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is he, church? He's a new creature, right? And the old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And then now, pick it up in verse 18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you, on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Seed of righteousness, the bearers of righteousness. And how do I exalt the righteousness of God? It's even in a prison cell. Church, there is no lock that is strong enough to hold the gospel. There isn't anything that can prevent the gospel from going forward, not even your circumstances, not even my circumstances. But when we allow the circumstances to tie us to the wall, and we allow our circumstances to get us focused on those situations as if they are unjust, unfair, undeserving, we strip God of his opportunity to put us in the place where we could best be affected to the same people trapped in their circumstances that will never know the freedom of Christ like you and I do, that we do not offer them the ministry of reconciliation because we are in our hearts are struggling with what God is reconciling within our own hearts. Our salvation can never be lost, but like what Jerry Vines once wrote in his book, Spirit-Filled, he said, we can lose our joy. We can remember the dark page in the life of David. He was a man after God's own heart, and yet adultery put a black smudge on his life. And when he confessed his sin to the Lord, he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sin and joy can't live in the same heart. In Psalm 51, verse 12, what he quoted there, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. And with that Old Testament understanding, we move into a New Testament thought, even of what John writes in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And whether it's your failure to heed the grace of God or the failure of others, you can find hope. And the greatest struggle I find many times is the fact that I have to deal with your junk just as much as you have to deal with my junk. And how do I love you in spite of you? And how do you love me in spite of me? How could Paul love these men that were holding him captive? How could he be willing, knowing full well that these men probably had been guilty of killing his own people? And yet he could turn to them with the love of Christ in his heart and with the gospel in his mind and on his mouth and be able to enunciate to them, here is God. and here is Christ. And this is how much God loved you. And I didn't deserve it. I was a sinner. You're a sinner. You need Christ. And he could love them with an everlasting love that was not his, but came from the Father, because he had a ministry to do, a ministry of reconciling this man and this individual and everyone else, as that passage says, because he wanted them to be able to be reconciled to God. Do you see your role in your circumstances like that? Whether it's chronic or temporary, whether it's fair or not fair, whether it's because you did it to yourself or someone did it to you, will you turn around and let it be an opportunity for the gospel's sake? You see, there is hope in exile. And joy can be found even in a prison cell, because our lives and our hearts are free in Jesus Christ. I am free because of Jesus Christ. And I believe there's a day that's coming where we're not going to be able to meet like this. I do believe it's coming. I believe there's a day that is coming where our ability to express openly and very plainly our faith is going to be tested and challenged, and some of us may end up in jail, literally in jail, for standing up for and believing in the person of Jesus Christ. But will we then be even freer to share him? Because our hope is not in a physical liberty, but in a spiritual one. And it's really going to lead us then, as you get to the end of this section, where Paul is leading to, and that's where we're going to get to eventually, that Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Can you say that of your existence? That he will be exalted in your body, in the totality of what you are, whether by life or by death. The gospel has the power to set and to keep you free. And that same gospel has the power to set all of those other people inside of your circumstance free too. Who are you more focused on? What are you focused on? Are you finding hope even in your exile? Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, I pray, as we make ready to close here this morning, that, Lord, I know that there are hearts in this room that have been hurt by other people. And the reason I can say that, Lord, is because my heart has been hurt by other people. Lord, I can know in this room that there is a person that is so caught up in something, and they know, and they're struggling with the rightness of it. Lord, there's a soul that perhaps is still bound and controlled in fear. A person that is battling with depression and discouragement. A mind that is struggling with the goodness of God in the circumstance that they're going through. And Lord, it's in these places where we feel abandoned, we feel overwhelmed, we feel ostracized, we feel like nobody understands, we're all alone. We're angry, we're scared, we're frustrated. And it's in these moments that we question. We question the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and my part in life. And Lord, those are things that the devil loves to use in our lives as believers to pull us away from everything that you're doing in that moment. To be able to say that, yes, this may have been somebody else's doing, but you have brought me to a place to reveal the gospel. and it's for the cause of Christ that I'm here. I will stand upon the integrity of what is good and upon what is right. I will be that seed-bearing fruit of righteousness. I will truly model the love of Christ, even when those people around me are very unlovely. I want the gospel to be what I exalt in, what I praise in, and what I see. The good news that there is a God who loved me enough to die for me, the good news that there is a God who did not just die for me, but that he rose again to give me eternal life. And he did not guarantee that this world will be any easier, but he did promise that he would take me to a place where he is, and that I can rest in him and be secure in him. And so while I am here, I will suffer and I will be persecuted and I will face trials and difficulties. But it's in these places I find hope. I have hope. And Lord, for that heart and for that life, I pray this morning. I pray that your grace would pour abundantly into them and through them. And Lord, I pray that you would bring healing and restore them. Lord, give us the ability, though bound in circumstances, to be free to see you and to proclaim you in the midst of our imprisonments. And so, Lord, work in our hearts, I pray. And it's in Christ's name we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just ask a question this morning. Nobody looking. This is just between you and your heart. You say, Pastor Love, I am in a place of imprisonment. There is something that I am wrestling with. There's a fear. There is a place of discouragement. I am in a place where I feel bound and I don't know the answers. And that's your heart this morning. Just lift your hand just for a minute. I just want to pray with you. Anybody like that this morning? You're struggling with something. There's an overwhelming sense of discouragement. Anyone like that today? Good. Do you know somebody that is? Is God enabling you to see them in their place of confinement? And are you aware of your role in helping them with the message of the gospel? Get your eyes up and see what Christ is doing. Father, work in our hearts and take us from here ready to model the grace of God. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Found a treasure.
I found a treasure that can't be taken. Found a well that won't run dry. Oh, worldly pleasure, be now forsaken. Behold what love, what life is mine. Righteous, could all my works now grant me hope? Oh, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus, my only plea, my only boast. Christ is When life is passing and strength is fading, I'll see the one that I adore. Let this world vanish, oh, give me Jesus, my great desire, my true reward. Christ is all, Christ is all, and my song will ever be. Christ is all in all, and my song will ever be. Christ is all,
Christ is all,
oh, Christ is all, Christ is all. Christ is all in all, and my song will ever be Christ is all.
Praise the Lord. I hope that's your confidence and your desire this morning to say Christ is all. He's all we need, right? He's all we need. Joy comes from the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for challenging us again today. Lord bless you. Hope you have a great afternoon.